Well, I hope everyone is having a great day today and that you are enjoying fellowship and communion with God throughout your day. We have been talking about the disciples' life of prayer and building intimacy and communion with God. And we've used a number of different things to help us along that path, getting us started. And one of the things that we're going through right now is called the Amidah, which is the daily prayer that the Jewish people use. And again, prayer obviously is an ongoing conversation with God. But as we said last week, you know, you certainly will give dedicated times to being with people that you want to be with and dedicate attention specifically and especially toward them. And it is not any different than with God. You certainly, God is with us all day long, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We are with Him. He's in us. We're in Him. But we like to give dedicated time to focusing on that relationship. And this prayer, the Amidah, gives us the ability to do that. Now, the Jewish people pray it 3 times a day. And this is something that goes all the way back prior to the time of Jesus. And their petitions may have changed a little bit here and there, but generally they're probably pretty much the same. But again, this was something that was done and in public. This was usually done jointly together with other brothers and sisters. And then, of course, private prayer was certainly encouraged. Jesus talked about going into your closet, into your room alone to pray, getting off and being alone with the Father and communing with the Father in that respect. So I like to use this in my own private prayer time. And it just helps me, gives me a guide, gives me a launching pad to make requests in behalf of others or for needs that I might tend to forget if I'm just randomly praying just off the top of my head. We closed yesterday, particularly with the petition number 7 about the regathering of the exiles. Now, petition number 8 has to do with governance. And it's interesting because, you know, the Apostle Paul tells us in the book of 1 Timothy, he says that, I beseech you, therefore, that prayers and supplications and intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men and for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who would have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Paul says that we are to pray for our leaders, pray for our rulers, so that as we pray for them, we can lead hopefully the result of our prayers as we pray for them will be a quiet, peaceable life that we can live in godliness and honesty. We can live in a secure and peaceful time. Now, this petition goes like this. It says, restore our judges as at first, and our counselors as in the beginning. Take away our grief and groaning, and reign over us, you, O Adonai, alone, with devotion and with compassion, vindicating us with justice. Blessed are you, O Lord, King who loves righteousness and justice. And again, use this as a launching pad. We know that, you know, here they're praying for their leaders. And so I would pray this, and then I would, you know, roll off and begin to say, Lord, I pray, you know, for our president, for our vice president, for the cabinet members. I pray for the Supreme Court justices. I pray for judges, federal, state, and local. I pray for our congressmen, our senators. I pray for our governors, lieutenant governors, mayors, and city councils across our land. And then simply make whatever petitions or requests in behalf. Lord, lead them, guide them to make decisions that are righteous. Turn their hearts toward you. For those that do not know you as Savior and Lord, give them a new heart, give them a new spirit, help them to govern in a righteous way. Do not let them lead us down a wrong path. I also many times include prayer for the church here, that righteousness would be exalted again in the land, that it would once again be exalted in the nation, and that the people of God who are called by his name would humble themselves, pray, seek his face, and repent of their sins, that praying for spiritual awakening across our nation and on our land, and praying for spiritual awakening throughout our government. So again, you see, this is again just as it gives you a launching pad and an aid in praying for our leaders. And we know that God loves righteousness and he loves justice, and he's a king who rules that way, and we would pray that our rulers would rule as he would rule. And then the next request, the petition number 9, has to do with judgment. It has to do with dealing with wicked people and wickedness. It goes like this: let there be no hope for the slanderers, and may you instantly destroy all wickedness. Let all your enemies be swiftly cut down, and may you swiftly uproot, shatter, throw down, and humble the arrogant offenders soon and during our lives. Blessed are you, O Lord, who smashes enemies and humbles the arrogant. Now, for some, you may say, wow, you know, should we be praying that way? Well, we do want God to judge the wicked, and we want God to certainly destroy all wickedness, the activities of wickedness. We want him to purge our nation of wickedness. And again, you roll off this and pray for those kinds of things. And one thing you have to understand about judgment, when God enters into judgment, it is not, as so many perceive, God with a baseball bat just coming and to bash the daylights out of what we consider bad people. It is God acting in a way that his end goal is always to bring about correction in the lives of those he is judging. He doesn't want them to continue down this path of destruction. And so judgment comes to get their attention and to hopefully bring about correction in their thinking, in their attitudes, and in their actions. And because that's his goal, is always to restore. It's a restorative action that God is taking in judgment. He doesn't take pleasure or delight in the death of the wicked, the scripture says. He doesn't take pleasure or delight in seeing people suffer, not at all. His desire is their restoration and their healing, even though at times he may have to take drastic measures, extreme and severe measures sometimes, to get people's attention. So when we pray for this, we certainly are praying for this, and it turns out to be a very positive thing. We want him to cleanse our land and our lives and our cities of wickedness and evil. We want him to destroy wickedness. We want him to crush the evil one beneath his heel, crush the head of the evil one beneath his heel, and tear down the strongholds and the works of darkness across our land. That's what we want to see happen, and we pray for God to act in that way and to do what only he can do, humbling the arrogant, smashing down his enemies, both in the seen and in the unseen realm. We want him to destroy the works of darkness. You know, when Paul talked about the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6, one of the things he follows up with after describing all of the pieces of that armor, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Prayer is vitally attached to the exercising of the armor of God in spiritual warfare. Prayer is where the battle is fought primarily. And so this first petition, as I said, we are praying for his leadership and justice and godly leadership across our land. And then we pray for judgment to come on wickedness and for God to act in a corrective way in the lives of the wicked, to turn their hearts from darkness back to the light. For God to act in a way that restores them and saves them from the path of destruction that they are on. Well, we will continue tomorrow looking some more at the Amidah, and I hope this is helping you. I hope this is an encouragement to you and aiding you in learning how to build a life of learning how to converse with God about all kinds of different topics. Well, I pray that Adonai will bless you and protect you, that Adonai will make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you, that Adonai will lift his countenance toward you and give you his peace.